Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
That's right. Get your headset on. Lock in. Get ready for the next 3 hours because you got Warriors this week coming your way on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone. We got big news, Dan. Did you hear? The Warriors have advanced in the NBA Cup past the group stage.
Let's go. Emirates NBA Cup.
That's right. Yeah, it technically has a name right next to it.
It's got
Emirates.
A sponsor, man. Don't forget about that.
Dude, that's how you know this is just a load of crap. Like, that's exactly how you know that this entire NBA Cup is just a farce. And they're trying to bite the whole, you know, Euro mid-season tournament, trying to, sort, I don't know, bake an extra couple million dollars into this whole thing. Last year was just the NBA Cup, and the Lakers are apparently, you know, they have a party for it, and they got a banner coming down at Staples, but, or Crypto.com. But now it's Emirates Cup. Like, seriously, are they even trying to hide it anymore? Adam Silver has done such a poor job of trying to hide whatever he actually believes the league is turning into. It just, it bothers me, Dan.
Are we just going to roll out of bed and start hating? Like, no exchange of pleasantries? And
oh, I'm sorry, Dan. Look, yeah, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. What do you want me to say?
I will tell you this. I'm all about the NBA Cup. I like it. You know why? For whatever reason, they're into it. So my motto is, if they care, we care. Right?
That's the slogan of the whole thing. You care, we care. No, I don't know. No, but seriously, though, it does feel like, look, the Warriors win last night. They defeat the New Orleans Pelicans. They are off to a fantastic start this season. And right now, pretty much sit atop the Western Conference. You know, and the play again today at 5:30. You can catch that game at 95.7 The Game. Warriors Live with Mark Grady is going to be at 4:30. But the Warriors are 12-3. They have 7 road wins. They beat the Hawks 112-108. And they're now officially 3-0 in the group stages, right? I will say, the one thing that I do like about the Cup,
I'm into it, bro.
I like the courts. I can't lie.
Last night looks sharp.
It's starting to grow on me.
Me too.
At first, I think it was like the Thursday night football alternate uniforms where you have basically just like Christmas colors and, you know, all lime greens or honey mustard Jacksonville Jaguar jerseys. But there's something about it. They are starting to get to me, the courts, in a good way.
Yeah, no. I think the NBA Cup is... Here it is. I think that the players, for whatever reason, have bought in. And if that's the case, and they're attentive, and they have energy, then it works. Because that was exactly what it is that they were trying to accomplish for this time of the year, where football's dominant. It's like, how do we capture some interest at this juncture of the season, when we're obviously struggling for that entertainment consumer dollar? And the play, you know what, bottom line, just like anything else, and this certainly pertains to all of us, is that money just dictates all of this at the end of the day. And while $500,000 doesn't sound like very much for Steph or maybe Draymond or LeBron James, hey, Podziemski winning a cup, you give me a check for 500 skahoots?
Pat Spencer.
I'll take it.
I mean, they don't make that money in lacrosse. I think that's why he's in the NBA.
Pat Spencer.
He's just trying to get that game check. But the last time we talked, though, I think the Warriors were 10-2. They had just beat Memphis on. Well, actually, last time.
Do you need ups to play lacrosse? Because he can get up. Like, I'm just. Do you need to elevate at any point in the game?
Well, he's legitimately like the greatest lacrosse player to ever walk planet Earth. I've never seen him play. That's what I've been told.
If it's a requirement at any point to sort of elevate, to jump and maybe get an angle on the edge you shoot.
I feel like it's like anything else. You need explosiveness. I mean, you see those football players that can do standing backflips. Like, they have hops, but do they really need to jump 45 inches on a football field? Probably not. You know, some of those offensive linemen that can just dunk. Like, Trent Williams is probably a fantastic basketball player. He's got quick feet. I don't know if he's going to have his quick feet in Green Bay because he's not listed on the or he is listed on the injury report. But the point is, I think athleticism generally travels between sports, and most NBA players, I don't know if they're the most athletic sport, but someone like Pat Spencer is both skillful and athletic. Like, in order to play lacrosse, I think you got to have pretty damn good hand-eye.
Every football player, especially when I went to college, thought to take a ball, meaning hoops. Speaking of Miles, have you seen Miles Garrett get up?
No.
Has that?
Well, I mean, I can imagine the guy's like 6'4", 230.
He's got crazy hops. Like, I'm telling you, he is crazy hops, and he can dunk with either hand, take off from the free throw line. Like, his athleticism is real.
Some of the best, well, I think it is funny, though. Like, the best athlete on the Warriors is probably Kuminga. I mean, that guy is, but.
I don't, you know what my barometer is. The football's in the back seat. Let's just see.
See, that's where we're talking about skill. And I don't want to call anybody out, but just because you can't catch a football doesn't mean you're not a good athlete.
No, it's everything. If you can throw and catch a football, then we're good.
Well, but this is where people come down the road of baseball players. And I promise we're going to get into the Warriors at some point in the next 3 hours here. But this is where people come down the road of baseball players.
Last 20 minutes, we can talk Warriors-Pelicans.
But, like, people think, well, the Pelicans, to me, that game is interesting from multiple standpoints. And I kind of had larger picture takeaways from it that fall under the umbrella of the Atlanta, and particularly the Clippers loss, which I think was after the last show you did. But the thing about athletes is, Dan, skill is different from athleticism. You have to separate it. I mean, the quintessential example is Bartolo Colon, but some guys in the NFL are athletes.
What about Bartolo Colon? You're telling me he's an athlete?
He's not.
Yeah, okay.
But he is skillful. He's incredibly skillful.
Oh, he's good at his craft.
That's skill.
Yeah.
I feel like we're cutting hairs here. But the point is, someone like Jonathan Kuminga is a good athlete. Pat Spencer is both skilled and an athlete, just not as skilled in perhaps basketball as he is in lacrosse.
Well, would you consider him a better athlete under the pure definition of whatever it is that an athlete is compared to
that? I think Pat Spencer.
He's a better athlete.
Pat Spencer. Better athlete. He's a better athlete than Pajewski.
He's a better athlete than Jonathan Kuminga. He's not a better basketball player. But in terms of athleticism, I mean, I don't think Jonathan Kuminga can.
I see where you're going. By the way, did you hear that Pods, I think it was a couple weeks ago, he was on with Willard and Dibbs.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, and he was talking about how.
Oh, I want to talk about him and Draymond. Come on.
Well, first and foremost, basketball is his second sport, if you ask him. Baseball is his first sport. And he
went yard at Oracle.
Yeah, I know. He also said that multiple times, and has said that just about everywhere. But he has this idea, and I believe that nobody on the Warriors is more confident than Brandon Pajemski, because he uttered these words. Well, you know, after I'm done playing basketball, I think I'm gonna try the baseball thing. Like, just go full Michael Jordan, just step off the hardwood, step onto the diamond. And he said something along the lines of, "Well, yeah, I mean, I was a pitcher, I could play center field. I think I could do the Ohtani thing."
God bless him, man. You know this. Like, half of what it is that you see athletes accomplishing at that level, at any level, it's confidence, man. It's knowing, it's the belief that when you step on the floor, no one can hold you.
Yeah, belief is overrated, I think.
I think it's a prerequisite to do what it is that they're doing.
Well, it is, but just because you're more confident than somebody else doesn't mean you're going to be better necessarily. I think it can be The difference, you know, if a player plays with confidence at an equal skill level or perhaps at athletic level, then another player, the confidence or the belief can get them to where they need to go. But I can believe that I'm better at football than you are, Dan, but I've seen you sling the pigskin outside. I don't throw the football better than you do. Just because I believe I do doesn't mean I can.
Are you not good? Wow, I've got to rethink my relationship with you. Can you not throw a football?
Well, I can, but, dude, your spirals are like Justin Herbert.
I told you what happened when David Lombardi, my good buddy Lombardi.
Yes. All right, I can catch a football.
Yeah.
Now, that is something that I think everyone should be able to do.
Just don't throw it back to me like Lucy, the character from Peanuts and Charlie Brown, which is what he did. I was like, oh, no.
Well, you might as well just try throwing it left-handed at that point.
If
you
just can't drop kick it to me.
Oh, boy. All right. This is Warriors This Week with Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone.
Huh? Well, I feel like $1 million right now.
What do you mean?
Well, I went swimming this morning, and the temps are down to like 52 degrees. It is like winter has come early. And I feel high right now.
It's like
now.
A Game of Thrones line.
Literally high. Like, I am the endorphin rush I'm enjoying right now. Like a good high. Not the high that the poisons you put in your body on a weekly. Well, not like you last night. I'm talking about a high on
life. I didn't put any poisons in my system.
Were you good last night?
No.
All right.
No. Well, not a... We'll leave it there. Not all a ton right. of poisons. But the point is, natural highs are something that I feel like, Dan, you kind of graduate into. Like, you know, the Warriors graduated beyond group play, right? They've graduated into, I don't know, whatever. I don't even know the construction of this tournament. Like, where do they go from here? Do they go to a knockout round? Do they host a home game? I mean, I have to do some digging before now and whenever their next group play or the next Emirates Cup game is. But...
Well, they just made, every player, I believe, just made $50,000 if you get to the quarterfinals.
Oh, so you get money as you move through.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you have to get to the quarters, I believe, and then you start making money.
So if you get out of the group stage, then you get a little cash.
Yeah.
Dude, that's all going to be bet on the plane by tomorrow.
For some of those players, again, I think at the end of the day, there was an owner by the name of Charles Finley of the Oakland A's. Way back in the day, you can read this, he paid like Raleigh Fingers and his players.
Oh, yeah.
$300 to grow a mustache. Every single one of them did that. Every single one of them was rocking the facial hair. Because money at the end of the day is everything to players. They're no different than you and I.
No, money talks. Chris Tucker. It's funny you mention that because there was someone at the bar, again, poisons. There was someone at the bar yesterday who had a very thick mustache. And... he owns the Old Ship Saloon.
Does he have the handlebars?
No, but I was trying to tell him you should go full Raleigh Fingers because he can grow a mustache in, I don't know, a week. His wife doesn't like it, but it's November. No shave November. Just let it roll. Or Movember. But the thing is, he was telling me that you need an extra, I don't know, like kind of lip rug. Like you need extra length on the end. In order to curl it, you actually have to have...
product.
Yes, but you also need a lot more facial hair than you think. Like, you can't just have a mustache and turn it into a Raleigh Fingers. Or I forget who else had them on the team. Might have been Joe Rudy was a part of that group. But it's funny, too, because Charlie Finley was, like, notoriously cheap.
Well, yeah.
The guy didn't want to spend money whatsoever.
He sold Rudy and Reggie Jackson once. And then, I believe it was Bowie Kuhn, then the commissioner, who nullified it. I mean, he was all about money.
Tried to sell his players. He really like a mom-and-pop shop baseball team, which I guess is appropriate considering the current state of the A's. But so it goes. You ever grown a mustache?
I have not. And I don't like the mustache. Like, back in the day, the mustache, when we're talking about baseball for that era, worked. And I know that things are cyclical in life. Like, you look good in the beard. Like, Gen Y, Gen X, the beard works.
I know.
And the mustache trying to make a comeback, just, no. Sam Darnold looks just, he'd be so much better if he got rid of that thing.
But, like, Baker Mayfield can pull it off.
Does Baker have the mustache?
He's got a little lip rug.
I think he's more half-shaven. Like, he is the quintessential half-shaven guy. Like, that works on him.
I will say.
Rugged demeanor.
I think the NBA is the league that is probably the most manicured. Like, as far as clean-shaven... tapered beards.
Have you seen James Harden play basketball? was thinking about this last night.
Hey, I actually think that beard probably takes a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
I did a show with your buddy Sammy Lubman last week, and he told me he spends like $500 on hair product.
What? We got to talk about that, Lubman.
I'm embellishing. Well, have you seen his hair?
Oh, yeah, he looks
I said he had the best hair in sports talk radio.
Well, you're doing a show with Brett Wisely.
I asked him if he has better hair than Troy Polamalu.
Who, by the way, is still doing Old Spice commercials.
Old Spice?
Or I think it was, is it not Old Spice?
He was doing the shampoo commercial with Patrick Mahomes. He looks like an idiot. He's inside
someone's
head.
I thought that was Old Spice. Am I wrong? I can't remember the product they use.
Old Spice is a cologne.
Yeah, but they also have shampoo and conditioners.
All right.
Well, it's all I know is because it's the cheapest one at grocery outlet. I don't really spend that much money on my...
On hair products?
Well, just on anything, but...
I haven't shampooed my hair in a year.
Why not?
Well, I use soap. I just use a bar. So I shower down at the club, and it's like showering at, seriously, like a state pen, like the federal prison.
You going to let me in that place? Am I even allowed to step foot 1 inch into the Dolphin Club, or am I going to be gunned down by...
So here's the thing I was talking
mounted
about.
Mounted snipers.
Like I was just, it's a natural high after swimming in 52 degree weather or temperature of the water temp. And then you come out and you're freezing, man. Actually, I was driving in and I'm like, who the hell's swimming in the San Francisco Bay today? Because it was freezing and it was a little light rain. And I get there, I go for a swim and I'm in there with this guy named Mick. Shout out Mick. He used to be in the fire department for years. I'm like, Mick, I feel like I'm on this natural high, man. I'm just gliding right now. This is amazing. I'm in the sauna. I went for a great swim. He's like, yeah, I'll tell you what, we'll cap it off. This is before I was in New York. And the temps were down at 52. And he goes, just stay here. He goes to his locker and he comes back. It's just he and I in the sauna. And he gives me a shot of scotch. And I'm like, the scotch, the sauna, and just going for a swim in 52 degree weather. I'm like, this, I've just left my body. I'm having an out of body experience. This is the greatest I've ever felt in my life. The scotch, the sauna, and the swim. Boom. Shoot me. I'm good. How about them Warriors?
By the way, Head and Shoulders. Thank you from the 650 and the 310. Polamalu does Head and Shoulders commercials. Thank you very much. Yeah, we've gone through our shampoo. We've gone through our manicure segment, facial hair. You know, oh, this is actually where I was going. When you mentioned Charlie Finley... And the Warriors winning, look, they beat the Pelicans last night by 4 points. They move on to the knockout stage or the quarterfinals of the Emirates Cup. They get $50,000, but it had me thinking, because they'll blow that money. Like, the top dogs, it's a penny to them. Curry, Draymond, Wiggins, probably the third highest paid player, or maybe second highest paid, depending on what Draymond's salary is this year.
It's two poker pots.
Yeah, but I think the players on the plane that sit at the table... that play poker, because in the NBA, the only place you're allowed to gamble is in the air. And I think that goes across professional sports, like MLB teams, NFL teams, all the gambling goes on the plane. And it's no limits, depending on which game you're playing. I've heard Pasoy is a big game. Hearts, what was the one they used to play in the minor leagues? I kind of forget. But the point is, on planes, that's where all the money goes down. So the Warriors table, I know there was like a famous video back in 2015, Curry, Draymond, Bogut, and I forget who the fourth player was in 2015, David Lee, that they were all at the same poker table. I think the poker table now, Draymond and Steph are always there, but I believe Kyle Anderson is involved.
Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield, and DeAnthony Melton was the fifth, up until he got hurt. So not only did the Warriors lose a member of their team for the season because he's having reconstructive surgery for a sprained ACL, but they also lost one of their prized card players.
That hurts.
It does. Well, and actually,
what hurts more?
Well, he probably saved himself some money. Although, I don't know, maybe DeAnthony Melton was running a gambit while picking up frequent flyer miles.
Well, I don't know how much poker you play, but if you get somebody who's a bit of a pigeon or has got a tell, you know, and that's your cash cow, you're making money off that guy, and you lose that person.
I kind of feel like it wouldn't be Steph. Steph strikes me as the kind of guy...
No,
like,
he doesn't lose it to anything.
Exactly. I think when we were having our discussion about athletes, like, he is the guy that can pick up a baseball bat, a golf club, a volleyball, a basketball.
Oh, by the way.
Just do stuff with it.
Bob Myers echoed my exact sentiment when I was talking about how he is the greatest athlete of our lifetime off the court. And Bob Myers said,
"Does Bob listen to Warriors This Week?"
Well, he said something very, very similar. He said that, and he said this on ESPN. He said he is the greatest athlete in team sports in the history of sports off the field, both on and off the field, combining the two. I put Muhammad Ali. I didn't want to hear it. You know, we're going to get a lot of Muhammad Ali pushback. I put
We've
Muhammad
talked about
Ali
this before. This.
But Steph Curry is. Yeah, I'll get into a little Steph Curry as well today. And GOAT conversation, which I never do. I hate the GOAT conversation.
You hate ranking. You hate
There's
predictions.
There's nothing more worthless than a GOAT
you
conversation.
You hate sports talk radio.
Well, GOAT conversations are for complete, like, that's idiocy.
GOAT talks?
Yeah.
Why?
Because if
that's
you're the
whole
greatest that you're... At that particular era, leave it alone.
You're Babe the guy Ruth, pumping up what belief is more important than skill.
Babe Ruth in the 1920s was the best to ever do it. Could he hit a fastball today? I'm not going to sit here and have a beer and debate that. That's who the hell cares? Shaquille O'Neal.
Well, he had a beer while he was hitting.
We had this conversation, God bless, and a hot dog in that back pocket. We had this conversation last week. Shaquille O'Neal was the most dominant player during the 90s that I saw. He was the best at the game. All right? I don't know that he could play in today's NBA. We had this conversation last week. I don't know what you do if you go five small. What do you do with Shaquille O'Neal? How's he going to defend somebody 30 feet from the hoop? But my point is that he was during his timeline, during his particular time of when he played basketball, he ruled the roost. And the same holds true for Babe Ruth. The same holds true for Michael Jordan. So having these conversations as to who's the greatest of all time. I can't do it, man. Just appreciate what it is that they're doing at that particular time.
Well, I think you do have to compare people between generations. Like, if they're outside of a generation, I know that, I think it was David Aldridge, he and, John Hollinger from The Athletic, they recently came out with a book about the top 100 NBA players ever. Because they did together a top 75 list that rolled out, I think this was a couple of years ago. Might have been the year that Curry broke the 3-point career record. But they had the top, you know, the top 50 back in the day, and then the top 75 25 years later. And eventually they'll expand it and whatnot. But they came out with a book about the top 100 players. And David Aldridge was discussing the fact that he isn't a rankings guy. He doesn't like putting certain people above others, specifically from certain eras. Like the 70s in the NBA is a kind of a lost and forgotten era, because much like the beginning of the 2020s, it was an era of parity. And it speaks to how, number one, dynasties are important across sports. People respect dominance. People chronicle dominance. And when you have someone like Steph Curry, who's won four championships, or LeBron James, who's won four, those players can carry a league. That's why I think a lot of people just tend to associate the modern game with the beginning of Bird, Magic, and then into Jordan. But the 70s, I think there was only one team that won multiple titles, but you had the Washington Bullets, you had the Golden State Warriors who won a championship. I think the Seattle Supersonics won a championship. So there was a lot of smaller market teams that were dominant. But his point is that all those players from that era just get lost in the top 100. And so how is he supposed to compare Rick Barry, who also is another Steph Curry-esque player, in that he could literally just pick up anything and be great at it. In fact, just watch him play pickleball at age 85, seemingly. He's fantastic. But those players will just get lumped into, you know, this grand list. But it's impossible to compare Rick Barry to Kevin Durant. Like, the game's so much more different. I don't know if Steph Curry would be
the Kevin Durant of his time.
Well, I don't know if Steph Curry would be as great, you know, if there wasn't as much emphasis on the 3-point shot back in the 1980s.
Yeah, there was no 3-point line in the 70s.
Exactly. So would his game actually be that great? I think Curry would be great no matter what era he played in. I think, to your point, Shaq would be great no matter what era he played in.
Well,
have you seen what Jokic does?
Yeah, but Jokic can step out and shoot you a three.
But there hasn't been a force as singularly dominant outside of maybe Chamberlain.
But I'm just saying, could he play in today's NBA and be great? That I'm not necessarily willing to go there, because maybe. But I just don't know. Like, Jokic can give you that feathery touch from a mid-range. He'll shoot a three better than 40%. And by the way, he's having an amazing season. And then he can pass. And then he can go.
He might win his fourth MVP this year.
Yeah. Either him or Giannis is having an amazing season as well.
Not the record, but...
But yeah, he's Milwaukee's getting better. But he can also be very Shaq-esque if he wants to. But the thing is that Shaq was just Shaq. He would get to a spot in the paint and then he'd dunk on you. Or he was a really sort of underrated athlete as far as being able to spin and pass. But
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The thing Shaquille O'Neal could not do is that he wasn't going behind the three-point line. I mean, he would do it, but he would do it for yucks in an all-star game.
Good call from the 510 on the Comcast Business Text Line. My vote for the third greatest athlete, tongue-in-cheek, behind Myers and Pods, is Dave Winfield.
Oh, yeah. 6'6". And he had an opportunity with University of Minnesota.
He's the only player that's been drafted.
Played football.
In all four major American sports, correct?
He was a former Gopher, the University of Minnesota, yes. And he was...
He's a great hockey player.
Really?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. He was also, I believe, taken in the NHL draft.
That I didn't know.
Massive athlete, Dave Winfield. Played for a lot of different teams, though.
Yeah. Do you remember a guy by the name of Howard Spira? Look it up.
Who?
Howard Spira. It's a good nugget for you today. Howard Spira was hired. He was a little knock-around gangster in New York.
Get him my immaculate grid.
In New York City. And this is when George Steinbrenner was George Steinbrenner. And George Steinbrenner found this guy and said, I want you to find some dirt on David Winfield. Like, that's what I want you to do. Go ahead and start a rumor on it.
They don't make owners like that anymore.
Oh, yeah. Howard Spira. And it all got uncovered in this huge court case. And David Winfield ended up suing the Yankees and George Steinbrenner.
Oh, so he wasn't a player.
He was this little knock-around guy. He was like, he's like Tommy DeVito's agent. That guy's now going to come.
Oh, my God. All right. We got to hit a break here, but right. I got to get Devone's quick take on that before we get back to the Warriors. I do have some thoughts about the starting lineup. Apparently, Devone's got something about Steph Curry that he wants to get into, because for the first time, I think, ever in the history of Warriors this week, or really since we've known each other, Devone is going to explain where he's got Curry in the GOAT conversation. It's a foreign territory.
Shock the world.
Shock the nation. It's what we do. Shout out D3. Fantastic movie. All that and more on the other side. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVoe, Warriors this week, 95.7 The Game.
Wiggins stole it. He stole it away from Ingram. Knocked it away. Waters on the break to Wiggins. Comes middle. Dishes right. Curry release. Splash! And Golden State's back on top. 53-51. Stephen Curry with that unbelievable release of his.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
The great Tim Roy on the call. The Warriors beat the New Orleans Pelicans 112-108 last night. They're 3-0 in group play. They move on to the knockout round in the highly touted Emirates Cup. And they're
so
officially 12. Yes, I can really tell. They're 12-3. They're atop the West. And yes, okay, that was the error half hour. I take full responsibility. Dave Winfield drafted in four leagues, not four sports. Thank you, 415. Thank you, 510. I appreciate that. The thing about the Warriors, Dan, that I think stood out to me last night, and Curry was that was a great call by Tim Roy. Dude, he's still so damn loose with the ball. He had a play last night where Curry, he was, I don't know, going underneath the basket and trying to kick it out to a shooter, and he just kind of lit with the left hand, underhand scooped
over
it.
Overthrew Draymond.
Into the third row. Yeah. And it's, I don't know. The Warriors are a team that has never necessarily needed, I guess, a ball handler with, you know, lock and key capabilities. Curry's always been the point. They're better off for it. But it does feel like the Warriors, to me, miss a couple things right now with this team. And, you know, we're probably nitpicking. They're 12-3. They're going to win a lot of games just by, I think, the fact that they're going to be healthier than a lot of these teams. Like, the Pelicans had, God, I mean, just a laundry list of people that were hurt last night. Still nearly won the game. But the Warriors, to me, still lack, I would say, like, a true second guy that can handle the rock. Pods, to me, is not there yet. And I think their starting lineup, to me, is, it's still got questions. You know, I think two of their five starting spots, not just from last night, but going back to the Clippers game on Monday, even earlier this week, it feels like that the Warriors are missing just something, some consistency in their starting lineup. And that's where I feel like the D'Anthony Melton injury is going to hurt them. We didn't get to see a lot of him. He only had, I think, two starts in six games. But he was supposed to be that guy, and they don't have him.
He was that guy. I think that you could see Steve Kerr and the level of confidence. And when you think about where they were during the offseason as to who's going to be the number two. Remember, that was the big question. Not only that, who's going to be your starting five aside from, you know, Steph and Draymond? And he finally settled just recently, which is, the timing is so bad, on D'Anthony Melton. And you could see that the fit was there. And a lot of that just is predicated on Steph and how he plays off of Steph, opposite Steph, with Steph. And it was all working. Not only that, but defensively, he was the guy in the game where he got hurt that locked up Kyrie Irving. And that's what he did, is taking on those, you know, those opposing guards and, you know, the opposing team's best players in many instances. And he gave you the three ball. He was not only a perfect fit for what they were doing, but he's a perfect fit for this system. He would have been a perfect fit for this team last year, the year before, going back to when Steve Kerr took over for the Golden State Warriors. Someone like D'Anthony Melton could play for this team. And so the timing really, really, really does suck. And losing a guy for the year, who's, what is he, 25, 26? And he's
26,
somebody that they
yeah.
coveted. He's somebody that they really, and they knew this going in. Somebody like that, he's sort of like a Caruso-esque, you know? He's somebody like Steve Kerr has certain guys in this league, kind of like Kyle Shanahan and Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold. There are certain guys that are like, you can play for me. And D'Anthony Melton was one of those. It's a significant loss. It's a significant loss because finally Steve Kerr, as good as the team was playing, had a sense of security, as did the rest of the team, that he was the guy. And you talked about how he got along with Draymond and Steph on the plane. That's the other thing, is that he was a good dude. And I think that goes a long way on this basketball team. You know, how many times has Steve Kerr made comparisons and analogies to this year's team in 2022? And he doesn't do it necessarily about sort of the X's and O's and the physical aspect on the floor, but just he says there's a vibe. There's a distinct energy on this team, on the plane, in the locker room, where that camaraderie is real. And it translated to an NBA championship to go along, obviously, with the physical tools. But he says he senses that this year. And I think one of those guys leading the parade was D'Anthony Melton, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, and it felt like it happened so quickly. I mean, he was the prized possession of the offseason. He was their biggest pickup. They signed him 20 minutes after free agency. They used the full allotment of the mid-level exception to bring in a player that, sure, he had some injury concerns. You know, he had back injuries that kept him out for the majority of last season, but the ACL was something completely different, a little more fluky. Yeah, it hurts. It sucks. And I also think where it hurts them the most is those kind of, I guess, crunch time rotational choices that Kerr is going to have to make. Because where the Warriors have always been at their best, whether people have clamored for a center that can shoot or a traditional big, they have always been at their best when they close small with Draymond at the five. And sure, they have a lot of bodies that they can put in right now and close with, but the Anthony Melton was supposed to be the guy next to Steph down the stretch of basketball games, whether it was against the Clippers in crunch time, whether it was last night against New Orleans in crunch time when the Pelicans had a chance to actually tie that game. DeAnthony Melton is the guy that can pick up the best perimeter player on the other end. And I don't think it's a coincidence in the Dallas game, unfortunately the game that he got hurt, the game flipped in the final minutes. Yes, when Curry came back in and really just started chucking up threes from left and right, but also when DeAnthony Melton checked in, when Draymond went to the five, when they went long with Kuminga, Wiggins, Melton, Curry, and Draymond. And that five, I think, at the beginning of this year was envisioned to be their finishing five. Maybe not the starting five, but their closing five. And now they can't realize that picture. So I mean, I'm not sure what the Warriors necessarily do to overcome that, whether they address it through a trade, whether they, in the meantime, they've had Lindy Waters III kind of step into the shooting guard spot. I think there's a conversation there. But the Warriors, I know we didn't get to see a lot of it, but the absence of Melton, it's going to be missed in those close games against good teams. And while it might not be on every single night, they play San Antonio tonight, not sure if Wembanyama's back or not, but they're going to need them to beat the best in the Western Conference and a loaded West.
Well, just think about how much more significant this would have been had this been last year, or had this been a year where you don't have this sort of depth. Yeah, we can talk about it, but there is a next man up mentality. Is Lindy Waters as good as DeAnthony Melton? No. But I think that that position, it should be Pajemski. Pajemski should be slid into that number two, but because he's in his own head and is having issues scoring the basketball, he's not ready to be a guy who's going to start right now. But I think logistically, you would think if DeAnthony Melton goes down to the perfect world, let me put Pods in there. I'm okay with Lindy Waters. The reason I was reading an article about how Lindy Waters is a guy, why he's getting an opportunity to play is because he can catch and shoot in motion. And I found that really interesting. Because a lot of guys like, you know, Pods or even Buddy Hield to a certain degree have to come off of pin downs and need to be set in transition. He's very comfortable. And that's a quality you don't see, I guess, in a lot of players, unbeknownst to me. But being able to catch and shoot again in motion is something that he does. Not only that, but he's, what is he, about 6'6", 6'5"?
He's tall, he's long.
And he plays at a certain tempo that I think where he's in control, and he gives you a sense of security that he knows where to go with the basketball, doesn't get sped up, and I think that he can guard multiple players. I'm okay with Lindy Waters. Is he a step down? Clearly from DeAnthony Melton. But again, if this was any other year where you didn't go 12 or 13 deep, I think it'd be much more of a concern.
But that's where that spot specifically, and it, I guess it isn't just the shooting guard position. The issue that I saw, for example, last night, is there's going to be stretches where the Warriors get nothing from two starting positions. And does Lindy Waters have the ability to knock down a three? Yes. Does he make the right play? I would say the majority of the time. He's a solid player. He's the kind of guy that Kerr loves to have because Kerr doesn't have to worry about him making mistakes and bleeping up possessions. But he isn't going to, he's not going to take a possession by the horns. Like he isn't going to bail you out of a possession. He is going to be a, I would say, he's not a ceiling raiser. He's a floor keeper. And that's where I think the Warriors are going to have to make a choice. Because I coming into the season, we talked about this. I thought Lindy Waters was good, you know, close to 40% three-point shooter. I think it helped the Warriors. But help the Warriors off the bench. Help the Warriors in spurts. I'm not sure I like Lindy Waters III as a starter for the Warriors long-term. And I'm not sure how long that lasts. Just because if he's getting 15 minutes a game, if he's a member of the 13-man rotation, then I think he can really help you. But if he's at the forefront of it, I'm not really sure if that's a place that I feel comfortable with.
What often happens to players like a Lindy Waters when they're playing with Steph Curry and Draymond Green, they become very deferential. Like
He does play well alongside Steph.
He wants to defer, and that's sort of understandable. When you're the new kid on the block and you got Steph out there and you certainly don't want to get on the bad side of Draymond Green, is you're looking to give it up to Steph. I think he needs to get a little bit more selfish. I think he needs to look for his shot. And before we can pass judgment on whether this works or doesn't work, we need to let it breathe. And I think somebody needs to sit him down and say, look, it, you can shoot it. It's just now a matter of confidence. Go ahead and let it rip. We're not going to pull you. Steph is not going to give you stink eye, and Draymond is not going to, he's not going to chirp at you. You are somebody that's got to space the floor. We have full confidence that you can shoot it. Pull the ripcord. You saw his hesitancy in that Clipper game, and he had an opportunity in the closing moments to shoot from the corner and win that thing. But you can see that he's going through these permutations. Well, who else is open? He needs to be a little bit more Buddy Hield, or he needs to, I don't know, call up Klay Thompson and say, hey, how do I live life with no conscience and just jack up shots at any time and live in my own world? He needs to be a little bit more. Shooters have any good shooter, as Buddy Hield, as Steph Curry, sometimes it just becomes a matter of greed. It's a good greed, but you got to be self-centered. And he doesn't have that. I think he can shoot it. Just right now, I would give it time. I would just tell him, let it fly. I'm assuming the other guy, and I'm not very necessarily, I can't agree with you here, young fella.
The other guy?
Well, you said that there are two positions that you're not getting anything out of offensively.
On given nights, for stretches, yes.
I'm assuming Lindy Waters is one.
Yes.
Don't tell me Trayce Jackson-Davis.
It's TJD.
No, it's not. Trayce Jackson-Davis is becoming one of the most solid basketball players, one of the most solid fives.
He plays 15 to 20 minutes.
Well, it's because he starts and he closes. But this guy, when he's on the floor, nobody is more sound in a pick and roll. Nobody is more sound around the basketball and knowing exactly what his role is. And nobody is more sound in terms of having the good hands. And again, when we talk about decision making, this is the prototypical center. And so what is supposed to be for a Warrior team, if Lindy Waters, again, gets that confidence to go along with Steph and Buddy Hield and even Draymond shooting threes, he becomes the perfect counterbalance to all of that, because now you have an interior presence, because that's all he's doing is living 5 to 8 feet from the hoop. But his timing and his knowledge of balance and when to pick and roll and where to be is so valuable to that team. And with every passing game, I become more and more of a fan of that guy, because he is the pure definition of solid. And he is becoming, I think, a valuable asset for a Warrior team. And when you think about sort of when you look at Warrior centers going back, you mentioned Andrew Bogut. He's making a name for himself that should this team make a deep run as being one of the most effective in recent memory.
By process of elimination, yeah, I would give you that. I think Trayce Jackson-Davis is a good player. He's a solid player. But it's funny because everything you mentioned about his game is on the side of the court that I don't think he helps the Warriors as much, and that's on offense. I think where his calling card is on the defensive end. Not him specifically, but him alongside Draymond. That's a damn good defensive front court.
The defense was a given. I'm just trying to illuminate you on what it is that he's doing on the offensive end.
He's a guy that cleans things up. He works hard. I think he can help you on the glass. You know, he isn't as good of an offensive rebounder as Kevon Looney, but he can bang with a lot of centers and challenge them. At least keep them accountable.
He runs the floor for a big and for a young guy, and that's what happens when you have an aging team. That dude will lead the break more often than not. Just keep an eye on it, and he can finish. He runs the full 94 feet. Trayce Jackson-Davis is a gem, man. You need to stop.
No, okay. I do find it funny whenever you... God, there's like every single season. All right, we've done this for a couple years now. You always pick like one guy to just strike me with. And for whatever reason, this season it's going to be Trayce Jackson-Davis. But the issue isn't necessarily TJD himself. And this is where I'll ask you to think a little bit deeper here. When Lindy Waters III is not shooting the ball very well, last night might be an outlier. He 0 for 3, took three threes.
It's not a good game.
And Trayce Jackson-Davis is on the floor as well. You have two non-offensive threats. You could even put three. I mean, Draymond's shooting the crap out of the basketball.
I would say it's 2.5.
But he's not someone that, like, if he wants to shoot five threes a game, no team is going to turn that down.
Agreed.
Yeah, he can shoot 45% for the year, but no one's afraid of his three-point shot. So it's really just Curry and Wiggins in the starting lineup right now. You have two guys that don't give you at least the option offensively that take attention away from the two guys that are going to be scoring the basketball in Curry and Wade. That's my biggest issue with the starting lineup now is that TJD is a good player. Lenny Waters, a third, I think is a good player. But they're not versatile offensively. I think how that five-man group is going to win games is hitting enough shots and winning defensively. But as you see, there's going to be nights where New Orleans, dude, there were some shots that like the Pelicans just should not have gotten. Like ball was shooter's bounce, thrown up errant hooks, a couple random floaters. Those shots are going to fall. They shot, I think, close to, if not above 50% of the first half. And if your starting lineup can't keep the pace, well, then I do think there's a reason to have a conversation. To me, it's less about Trayce Jackson-Davis. He's their starting five.
Yep.
TJD is going to be the center for this team. But the two spot is one that I think is going to continuously change throughout the season.
That I agree with.
I wouldn't be surprised if tonight we see Moses Moody or Brandon Pajemski as a starting shooting guard. You know, I think Kerr likes to give things some time, and while you're winning games, you have time to experiment. But that two spot is up for grabs.
That I agree with you. That they need someone who's... If Lindy Waters is not going to be able to shoot it, if he can't stretch or space for Steph Curry, then you have an issue. But I won't go as far as that Trayce Jackson is part of that problem, because Trayce Jackson-Davis is doing what it is that he does. If you want Trayce Jackson-Davis to stretch and get outside, I mean...
No.
Carl Anthony Towns is like the only guy that I know that can go outside and be a threat, or maybe Jokic. He's not that guy. By the way,
Jersey Ken's got to love what he's been seeing from the big cat. He's getting like 40 and 20 games.
He's amazing. No doubt. Yeah. I'm all about the Knicks.
He's the talk of the Mecca?
The Knicks get off to the slow start, but they're now beginning, and I'm not necessarily sure what's going on with Mr. Bridges out there. He's having sort of a funky start to things.
Ken, is he allowed to touch the basketball, Mikal Bridges? Oh, you got to turn your mic on, buddy. Producer, got to get that up.
But Trayce Jackson-Davis is perfect. We just need to leave him alone. If you want to have the conversation about somebody needs to be able to shoot, whoever's going to play that too, that's legitimate. I wouldn't factor in Trayce Jackson-Davis to that conversation.
That's fair. Sorry, Ken, you were saying?
I was going to say, as of now, probably not. But, with two guys, the big and the small in Jalen Brunson, 30 and 10 on each side, you can't complain about that right now. Knicks are rolling.
They're so glad Randall's out of town. You see what's going on in Minnesota?
We might get DiVincenzo back.
Hey, yeah. Okay, first of all, you can't have him. That's the guy I want the Warriors to go get.
Yeah.
That'd be the guy, Dante DiVincenzo.
There's drama out there in Minnesota, man. They all hate each other.
Wait, what? They hate each other?
Well, they're having issues. Gobert and Ant-Man aren't getting along.
Well, yeah, he's shooting the
Randall through the ball at Gobert's
times.
Feet. Yeah, it's just...
Give up the rock, Ant.
Well, it's not working.
Yeah, they're going to struggle, I think. And it has to do... I hate to see... It has to do with Randall, but...
The West isn't, at least for this quick little sample size... It's not like the big bad wolf that we thought it would be. Remember at the beginning of the year, like, we're going eight deep. I don't know about that, which is good for the Warriors.
Well, there's five teams with double-digit wins. I mean, I think that there are... It's more top-heavy than we anticipated, because I think we assume that, all right, it'd be Oklahoma City.
They're legit.
Well, I was not as bullish on Minnesota, but I thought they'd be better than they are.
Oh, yeah, Minnesota was supposed to be a team.
Denver. And then, I don't know, were you that high on Dallas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because of Lively. Well, I don't know. I should take that back.
I didn't think that they were a Western Conference Finals team last year, or Finals team, but
I take their credit, they made a run. I'm not big on them because of their defense. I'm contradicting myself.
The Phoenix Suns, I know they're going to run into issues just because of how top-heavy their roster is. So anytime one of their big three misses guys... they're going to be in trouble. But to me, it was Oklahoma City and Denver. I think those were the two teams I was most concerned about this season. And OKC, I think, is still... They just got Hartenstein back. They're a team to be reckoned with. But it's not like the Eastern Conference where... Dude, the Miami Heat right now, it's 13 games. They are the five seed. They're 6-7.
Yeah, it's a joke.
I mean... What are we doing here? The Minnesota Timberwolves are 8-7, and they're in 10th place in the West.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you that those teams aren't necessarily scary.
You want to get rid of the conferences? 1 through 16?
No, I do like the conference. I think it means something when you have some sort of, whether it's a division or a conference.
Regional rivalries.
Yeah, because, look, there's going to be up years, they're going to be down years. It does feel like the West has kind of been ahead of the East for a good period of time. But I don't think you can just go 1 through 30. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
You know who people are sleeping on?
Yeah.
And another reason why you did not want Paul George. So he leaves L.A. Ty Lue's got himself a little ball club out there. And hey, you want Norm Powell or do you want Paul George right now?
Give me Storm and Norman. By the way, the Clippers, well, they might be the kryptonite. Warriors can't beat them.
If Ty Lue slows it down, mucks it up, and he likes defense.
Yeah, which is interesting, considering James Harden is the guy pounding the rock.
Yeah, but James Harden's about distributing right now. The last 2 years, Skye's, he's all about the assist.
Well, I think they are similar to the Warriors from the standpoint of they don't have... Powell's an effective scorer, but they pretty much play through one guy. Curry doesn't handle the ball as much as Harden, but the rest of their team buys in on defense. They slow the game down. Like, the Warriors play more in transition than the Clippers do, but they slow the game down, and they just kind of constrict you. Like, they're kind of like an anaconda. Like, they'll just wrap themselves around you defensively and just constrict. And I think that's what gives the Warriors trouble, or at least what stood out to me so far through, you know, 15 games. They can and will get turnover happy, but specifically if teams have the ability to get in their jerseys.
And then not shooting free throws well. Do we attribute that to the wall out there at the Intuit Dome?
You love the wall.
I think it's silly. I think it's just...
Shout out Pink Floyd.
I think it's just...
That one went over my head, I'm not going to lie.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Pink Floyd and the wall?
I know, money.
Wow.
That's about it.
All in all, we're just another...
Dude, Ken was playing some songs for me in his car last night.
Let's stop right there. What are we doing in Ken's car in the middle of the night?
The Deftones? Well, he was taking me to the Poison, you know, we were talking about earlier.
Gotcha.
But he was playing with the Deftones. I know the Delphonics. Philadelphia.
Deftones and Presidents of the United States of America. Do you know that one?
I think there's 56 of them.
I do not.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, gotcha, Ken.
Gotta go to break.
Oh, we do. All right. Hey, actually, Jason, hold on. Actually, can we sneak Jason in real fast? Yeah.
Hey, no. You know why?
Why?
Jason needs time.
Okay.
And you know why? Because he's not another brick in the wall.
Shut up. Jason, I promise, hang on through the break. We'll get you on the other side. We'll put you on the 95.7 The Game wall if we have something along those lines.
It's Pink Floyd references for the next 3 hours.
I sure hope not. You're going to be doing a show with Ken. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is Warriors This Week at 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, back after this.